Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The Athletic.
Hi folks, welcome to another episode of the Athletic FPL podcast. I'm Mark McGettigan. You can find me on Twitter at FPL General. The end of the international break is in sight, thankfully, and the crazy festive period is just around the corner. Over the coming weeks, we're going to have 10 FPL game weeks in 40 days. It's a hugely important part of the season where you can make up a lot of ground on the managers who are less engaged and who are likely to miss those midweek FPL deadlines. There's been quite a few managerial changes since the last game week, which could give us some new options to consider from Aston Villa, Newcastle and Norwich. It'll be interesting to see what impact Steven Gerrard, Eddie Howe and Dean Smith have on those teams. It's a Saturday deadline this week, 11 a.m. UK time, which is 90 minutes before Leicester versus Chelsea kicks off. On today's episode, I'll run through the Game Week 11 headlines, do a quick Game Week review, update the watch list, answer Twitter questions, and discuss Game Week 12 captaincy and transfers. There will be another Athletic FPL podcast on Friday, so make sure to hit the subscribe button wherever you're listening for that one. And if you'd like to become a subscriber to The Athletic, which I recommend doing so, visit theathletic.com/FPL pod to get 33% off an annual subscription. In doing so, you'll get ad-free versions of this podcast. Game Week 11 feels like a long time ago now, so here is a reminder of the headlines. Tino Livramento picked up another clean sheet as Southampton beat Aston Villa 1-0 on the Friday night. João Cancelo picked up 2 assists and 3 bonus points in the Manchester Derby win for City. Mbeumo and Tony disappointed owners again as Brentford lost 2-1 at home to Norwich. Chelsea dropped points at home to Burnley, but that didn't stop Reece James delivering again, a 7-pointer thanks to his assist for Kai Havertz. Conor Gallagher and Wilfred Zaha were the goal scorers for Crystal Palace in their 2-0 win over Wolves. What a great job Patrick Vieira is doing at Selhurst Park. Robert Sanchez received a very late red card against Newcastle to frustrate his backers. Smith Rowe scored for the third game in succession as Mikel Arteta's Arsenal beat Watford 1-0. He followed that up with a goal for England on Monday night as well. Everton and Tottenham played out a scoreless draw. Rafinha bagged his 5th goal of the campaign. And David Moyes got the better of Jurgen Klopp with his West Ham side beating the Reds 3-2 at the London Stadium in what was a great game to watch. Game Week 11 shoutouts. Welcome to the 59th Minute Club, Fabian Delph from Everton. This is one of my favourite kind of new members when they get a yellow card as well. So Delph hasn't played many minutes at all this season. Gets a start, gets taken off after 59 minutes, got himself a yellow card. Big fat 0-pointer for Fabian Delph. I was adding Delph to my list of players who have joined the club this season, and it struck me that every one of them is an absolute terrible FPL pick. You couldn't make this up. If you were trying to pick the worst FPL team you could, a lot of these guys would be in it. So Delph joins El Ghazi, Firpo, Klitsch, Harry Winks, Kante, Aaron Lennon, Choudhury, Longstaff, Gordon and Bissouma. What a list of players that is. So we haven't really had a high profile 59th minute member so far this season. I'm sure with so many games coming, with more rotation set to happen, it won't be long until we actually get a good player joining the club. So keep an eye on the clocks as always in Game Week 12. A couple of notable mentions, having looked at the minutes for all players. Defenders, first of all, Sergio Reguilon was taken off after 70 minutes for Matt Doherty, so Reguilón got the clean sheet there. Lamptey, who made his first start of the season, managed 75 minutes. I've seen quite a few people talking up Lamptey, but to me, I think it's premature because especially when there's so many games coming up thick and fast now, Potter has said many times, we're going to be cautious with this guy. So Lamptey, in my eyes at least, won't start every game during the busy period. So I don't think he's an option just yet. For me, it's probably after Christmas when things calm down before I start to look at Lamptey. Hopefully he does stay fit though, because we know how good he can be FPL-wise going forward. Midfielder Stuart Armstrong, just 56 minutes for Southampton. Not to be confused with Adam Armstrong, who scored in the last game week. Mason Greenwood, 67 minutes. Harvey Barnes, who got a start for the first time in a while, managed 70 minutes. And Lucas Moura managed 71. In terms of forwards, Chris Wood just about made it to 60 minutes for Burnley. And Lacazette, 68 minutes. So I was looking at Lacazette's minutes. He hasn't reached the 70-minute mark in any game so far this season, so that kind of kills him off as an option. And Neil Mopai, who was on the bench again, managed just 25 minutes. A quick review of how Game Week 11 went for me. I used my two free transfers. I sold Ruben Dias and Mason Mount, and I brought in Ben White and Youngman's Son. Ben White went to the bench and Son was in my starting 11. In hindsight, it should have been the opposite way around. 64 points resulted in a green arrow from 41k to 34k. So that's a run of four green arrows after playing the wild card. So very steady progress, and hopefully I can continue that now after the break. The good and the bad: Ramsdale, 7-pointer. Cancelo, 14. Trent, 12. So it was all about the defenders as usual. Rafinha got 9. So back-to-back 9-pointers. Very satisfying having held on to him. And Salah, captain, didn't blank for a 10-pointer. The bad: blanks for Chilwell, Son, Mbeumo, Tony, Vardy, and Antonio. And most frustrating of all, I had 26 points on my bench. The most by far this season, and I think a lot of people did. I've seen quite a few people actually bench boosted last week, and well done if you did so, because if you had Ben Foster and the likes of Livermento, Ben White, you probably did well. That was my bench. I had Foster, White, Livermento, and Brownhill. So again, would have been nice to bench boost last week, but hopefully at some point later in the season I'll get a decent return on that. Very unlikely to get 26, but hopefully can get, you know, probably 16 to 20 points would be a successful bench boost. Well done. A shout out to FPL Focal, who has a very good YouTube channel. He bench boosted and went up to second in the world ranking. So I think it was over 100 points thanks to the bench boost. So well done to FPL Focal. Check out his YouTube channel when you get a chance. Watch list update: players removed. First of all, I've removed Rudiger. I've only got one Chelsea defender at the moment. That's Ben Chilwell. Reece James is on my watch list. And if I'm going to double up on the Chelsea defence anytime soon, it's 100% going to be Reece James the way he's playing. So that's why Rudiger is not in my thoughts anymore. Robertson removed from the watch list. I actually removed him before he picked up the injury, playing for Scotland on Monday night. Looks like a hamstring injury. So we need to get an update on that from Klopp on Friday. Robertson's gone basically because watching Liverpool recently, you know, watching them against West Ham, they haven't been good defensively. I've got Trent and I'm not looking to double up. And I've removed Mane as well. I just think when you've got Salah, it's very hard to fit Mane in. And before Firmino's injury, at least, there was a bit of rotation with Mane and Jota. Hopefully won't be much of an issue anymore. But I'm not looking to double up with Salah and Mane in my midfield. Players added to the watch list: Tarek Lamptey. But like I said, I'm quite reluctant to go there. I'll keep an eye on him. I'll see how many minutes he's getting and see what Potter's comments are on him. Most importantly, in terms of fitness and how much game time he's likely to get. I've added John Stones as well. Got the start alongside Dias because Laporte was suspended. I'm interested to see if Stones can keep his place now. You know, when Laporte returns from suspension, I'd be very interested to see if Stone stays in the starting 11, because I think he's only about 5.3 million. He would be a nice route into the City defence. Obviously, he did very well in FPL last season, so hopefully we can get a budget City defender in the near future. Midfielders added this week: Trossard from Brighton. He's caught the eye in the last two games, playing out of position. Mopai's been on the bench, so Trossard's been playing as the most advanced Brighton player out of position, won the penalty and took it himself as well. So hopefully he can take more of those. So Trossard, for a couple of years now, he's been a player with lots and lots of FPL potential, but he hasn't been consistent. So hopefully this is a start of a bit of consistency from the Belgian, because we know he's a good player. Hopefully he can start converting that into regular FPL points. I've added Wilfred Zaha as well. Conor Gallagher is already on the watch list. Zaha, though, I think is a nice differential. I still think Conor Gallagher is the best pick from Palace. Gets into such good positions. Gets into the box all the time. Can score from distance. He's got set pieces as well, particularly when Milivojevic is not on the pitch. And he's just a lot cheaper than Zaha. So Gallagher is the pick. But if you're looking for a differential, maybe if you need to make up a bit of ground in the rankings or in mini leagues, I like Wilfred Zaha for the Christmas period, because he'll probably play every game and he's got a high ceiling. Also added Diogo Jota. Once Firmino got injured, I added Jota to the watchlist. So I've got Salah and I've got Trent. I've got a spot for a third Liverpool player. And I think Jota is very, very interesting now. I know he's been frustrating so far this season, but he's still a very good player. He's got very good underlying statistics when he's on the pitch. So I think Jota could have a big couple of weeks if Firmino is going to be out long term, which it looks like he could be. Hopefully we'll get an update on that in the press conferences on Friday as well. And finally, added to the watchlist, Jared Bowen. He's the only West Ham midfielder on my watchlist now, but I really don't think there's too much between Bowen, Fornals and Benrahma. I think all three of them are viable picks, but just recently, in terms of the eye test, I think Jared Bowen's looked really good. He's got, you know, roots to points from set pieces as well. I think he took the corner for Zuma's goal against Liverpool. So yeah, Bowen looks a really good player. And we know if at some point Antonio does get rested during the busy period, or if he does pick up an injury, which hopefully he won't, Bowen's probably the player that will play through the middle in Antonio's absence. So that's why I prefer him slightly over Fornals and Benrahma.
This episode is supported by Season 3 of FX's Welcome to Wrexham. Celebrity owners Rob McElhenney and Ryan Reynolds' small-town Welsh football club has finally been promoted into League 2 after 15 seasons in the National League. Dedicated staff and supporters celebrate the city's return to glory while bracing for the newfound challenges that come with being in a higher division. Will Wrexham AFC stand up to the challenges and rise again into League 1? FX's Welcome to Wrexham premieres May 2nd on FX. Stream on Hulu.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
20 questions now. Thanks as always for sending those in. I've picked out 10 of the best. The first one comes from Johnny Small. Is Son or Kane a must own this week, or is it a wait and see until next game week? So no player is ever a must own, but obviously when it comes to fixtures for me always comes first. And Tottenham, we know, have a very nice run coming up, starting with Leeds this weekend. And I always think for attackers, Leeds is one of the best fixtures of the season because they concede lots of goals and give up lots of chances. Tottenham haven't been amazing so far under Conte. I mean, it's only two games. They were pretty decent going forward in the UEFA Conference League game, but against Everton, obviously no goals. I don't think they had a shot on target, but that might be down to Everton being pretty solid defensively in that game. I think against Leeds, to me, that could be a very open game. I think there could be goals for both sides. It could be high scoring. So I think having one of Kane or Son is probably a good idea this weekend. I certainly don't think you need both. In terms of which one is the best pick, I still think it's, for me, it's slightly in Son's favour, just because he's basically out of position and he's cheaper. But it was good to see Kane getting goals during international break. I know the opponents weren't very strong, but when you're a striker, quite simply, if you're scoring goals, confidence levels are going to rise. And confidence is huge when it comes to picking FPL players as well. So hopefully Kane can kick on now, because we do have a lack of strikers, and it would shake things up if Kane can become a good option, and hopefully a good captaincy option as well, you know, to make us start second guessing Salah for the armband. So I own Son, so I'm slightly biased on this question. When I say I prefer Son, I see there's a lot of momentum gathering for Harry Kane on Twitter this week, and it wouldn't surprise me to see him do well against Leeds. He's always got those penalties in his locker as well. So fixtures are excellent for Spurs. I think one of Kane or Son is a good idea this week, if you can get to one of them easily. And I think it's even a case of whichever one you can get to easily is probably the way to go. You know, let the game decide which way you go. If you've got, you know, a Vardy, or you're still hanging on to Lukaku or something like that, you can go to Kane easily. Or if it's easier for you to get Son in for a midfielder, if you've got a bit of cash and you're upgrading someone like Havertz, for example, just go Son. Sometimes I like to let the game just make the decisions for me when it's a close call, for example, Son versus Kane. So yeah, I would feel a little bit uncomfortable this weekend if I didn't have either. I feel good having Son. And even if you want to go all out, if you're a fixtures manager like I am, I think it's totally viable to get Son and Kane for these next three or four game weeks. They should deliver, given that the opponents are favourable. And if it doesn't work out, it's not the end of the world. You can always move to someone else. But yeah, fixtures are lining up nicely for Son and Kane now, and hopefully we'll get the new manager bounce as well. So I've got Son, and Kane is in my thoughts. He's not super high in my thoughts. I'm probably going to keep Vardy this week, but Vardy to Kane in the near future, if Kane looks better, is certainly on my mind. I think if I had cash this week to make the switch from Vardy to Kane for a free transfer, I would be very tempted to do so. Question from Kevin: stick or twist with Mbeumo and Tony? So I think the short answer here is stick with them for Newcastle this weekend. After that, it is Everton and Tottenham. So Everton obviously were better defensively against Tottenham in the last game week. And then Tottenham we expect to improve as the weeks go by defensively under Conte as well. So Mbeumo and Tony have been extremely frustrating for those of us who own them, especially if you own both of them. But Newcastle is a good fixture this weekend. I know they've got a new manager now, so things could improve instantly there. But I still think, you know, it's early days. Eddie Howe won't have much time to work with him. And we know from his Bournemouth days anyway, you know, Eddie Howe didn't keep too many clean sheets. So I think Mbeumo and Tony, keep them this week, unless you're using them, you know, let's say to fund more exciting, better moves. Let's say if you're upgrading Mbeumo to a better asset, if you've got cash, I think that's totally fine. But, you know, if it comes to either selling Mbeumo or Tony this week or saving a transfer, I think I'd rather save a transfer. So yeah, Newcastle's a good fixture this weekend. And then we'll probably look to lose one of them at least. You know, I still think over the course of the season, both players might be good options, but the double up feels like too much now, especially when they're losing at home to Norwich. Question from FPL Yogi: is Vardy worth keeping, or is it time to downgrade to the likes of Callum Wilson or Raul Jimenez and upgrade the defence or midfield? So Vardy's a tricky one. A lot of us bought him a couple of weeks ago when Lukaku got injured. I think he's blanked in the last three games, which is typical FPL and typical Jamie Vardy. But I think it would also be typical Jamie Vardy for people to sell him and then him to nick a goal against Chelsea. So for me, I think I'm going to hold him. And the attractive thing about holding Vardy is if you can hold him for the Chelsea game, after that the fixtures are so much better. After Chelsea, it's Watford, Southampton, Aston Villa and Newcastle. That's four pretty nice games for Jamie Vardy. Now, I always do get slightly concerned about Vardy at this time of year when there's three games a week. He's always had that hip impingement issue. So we could see him get a benching in you know, one or two games over that, you know, 1 month period. So again, if you're doing Vardy to Kane or something like that, I think it's fine. Even Vardy to Lukaku, if he's fit again, I think is also fine. But I think it's perfectly viable to keep Vardy as well because of the fixtures on the other side. I wouldn't let the three blanks annoy you too much. That's just FPL, it happens. But look ahead to the four fixtures after Chelsea and Vardy could be back in the goals again. So for me, I'm leaning towards keeping him. Question from Phil: if Robertson is injured, is it worth prioritising Tsimikas over Jota as the third Liverpool player? I don't think it is. I think as soon as Robertson, you know, news of Robertson going off for injured for Scotland on Monday night, the first thing FPL managers think of, they don't think of the player. They don't think, I hope Robertson's okay. They think of what it means for their FPL team and what opportunities arise out of an injury. So if Robertson's going to miss a couple of weeks, which we don't know yet, Tsimikas, you would expect, will come back in at left back. I think he's probably down to 3.9 million at this stage. So very attractive, especially if you're trying to get the Spurs guys, you know, Son or Kane. Tsimikas now could be your key to get there in terms of freeing up cash. But when it comes to Tsimikas versus Jota, you know, goes back to the start of the season. This was a big debate. I went Tsimikas and he did really well. But then it got to the point when Robertson was back, it was a little bit tricky. You kind of had a dead spot in your team and you couldn't get to Jota because of Tsimikas. And I don't want to do that again. So I think Jota is the best option. If Firmino's injured, I think Jota has the potential to score 15 points in any given game week. And you don't want to block yourself out of that move. And I think when we have Livramento, you don't need a Tsimikas. So I think that's the long and short of it. We're, I think, four big defenders, you know, Cancelo, Trent, and probably Reece James and Chilwell, plus Livramento is still the way to go defensively. So there's no space for Tsimikas there anyway. So I think, yeah, I think it's Jota. If you're looking for a third Liverpool player, go with a player who has the highest ceiling. But it all depends on an update on Firmino's fitness and how long he's going to be out for. Question from Alex. Who is the best Robert Sanchez replacement? Yeah, so for people who have Sanchez, if you don't have a second goalkeeper, you know, if you've got the Brighton double up Sanchez and Steele, you're okay because Potter said Steele is going to come in and play, so you don't need to make a goalkeeper transfer there. If you've got Foster, I would just play Foster and save a transfer or use the transfer elsewhere. If you're on Sanchez and you don't have a backup, there's a good chance you might be annoyed with Sanchez now anyway and you might want to jump ship. So I think the two standard options around the same price are Ramsdale at Arsenal. Again, I'm slightly biased there because I've got him myself and he's been doing well. But I also like Guetta at Crystal Palace. I had a look on fbref.com, which I find myself using more and more this season. Really good website for stats, fbref.com. The stats come from StatsBomb on that website. Crystal Palace are second for XGA, which is expected goals allowed this season. So they're second to Manchester City. So the underlying defensive numbers for Crystal Palace are really strong. And that's having had tough fixtures to begin the season because Crystal Palace are near the top of the fixture ticker for the next 7 or 8 game weeks. So Guetta, we could see him starting to get more clean sheets in the near future. Ramsdale, I still think I would go Ramsdale though, because to me, Ramsdale is just, it's almost like if you could design a 4.5 million goalkeeper for FPL, Ramsdale would be pretty close to it because he makes lots of saves and his distribution is really good. So he's going to rack up lots of passes, which helps him for bonus points. So I think Ramsdale has the best chance of being the Emi Martinez of this season. So he is the way I would go. But I do like Guetta as well. I think those two are the standouts, unless you want to spend more cash. But I don't think you should. I think you should go with Ramsdale or Guetta and just, you know, use the funds elsewhere, in particular in defence and midfield. Question from Jono. Reece James or Ben Chilwell? I think the short answer to this one is probably both. Chelsea wingbacks do feel like cheat codes at the moment in FPL. I've seen someone mention that term a few days ago and I tend to agree with it. They've just been unbelievable over the past couple of game weeks. I've only got one and I slightly regret using my two free transfers last game week to get Son over Reece James. An easy move for me last game week would have been Ruben Dias to Reece James. Just keep it simple and bank the other transfer. I decided I really wanted to get Son, so that's the way I went. So I really need Son to do well over the next couple of game weeks. And I'm hoping that, you know, Reece James quietens down a wee bit and stops absolutely smashing it. Another reason why I'm leaning towards banking a transfer this week is I feel like if James continues to do what he's doing, I'm going to be forced to go and get him. You know, some I could do something, you know, next game week with two free transfers, maybe take some cash out of Vardy, go for someone like Callum Wilson or around that price point, and then maybe upgrade Ben White again to Reece James and go back to four at the back, because I've kind of moved to a 3-4-3 formation, but I feel like maybe, you know, four big defenders is the way to go this season. So interested to see how that plays out. I really need Son to do well and Reece James to stop hurting me. The fixtures for Chelsea are a little bit trickier now as well, which probably played into my thinking last week. It's Leicester next, Manchester United, Watford, West Ham and Leeds. So is there going to be lots and lots of clean sheets there for Chelsea? I'm hoping not, given that I've only got one Chelsea defender. But I do think if you own Reece James and Chilwell, you're probably set up nicely for the long term. And that's where I might end up myself in a couple of game weeks' time. Question from FPL Savadodo. Who are the differential players you would go for? before playing a wild card in game week 15 or game week 16. So what I did here was I opened the fixture ticker up until game week 16. And I looked at, you know, which players I would like as differentials over that period. So Tottenham are near the top. So I like Reguilon and Emerson Royale. I think the wingbacks will get attacking returns from what I've seen in the first two games under Conte. I don't think there's too much between them. I do think I slightly prefer Reguilon, but I've been very impressed by Emerson Royale getting forward in recent games. Callum Wilson at Newcastle, they've got good fixtures. He's obviously worked under Eddie Howe before at Bournemouth to great success, so we could see a bit of a bounce for Wilson and Newcastle there. Corney at Burnley. Burnley have decent fixtures in the short term as well. He's playing out of position up front, and he's starting to get more minutes now as well. Tsimikas, if you need a differential defender, you know, if Robertson is going to be out for a while, if you're going to wildcard soon, at least you know there's a route out of Tsimikas when Robertson is back. Timo Pukki, again, if there's a manager bounce at Norwich, Pukki could be in the goals with decent fixtures. Trossard, who I mentioned earlier, and also Wilfred Zaha. Trossard and Zaha, pretty good differentials with high upside. Question from Bonafide Red. What are your thoughts on Steven Gerrard's Aston Villa move? Does this now make players like Ollie Watkins worth putting on a watch list? So yeah, we're going to be keeping an eye on them to see if there's an improvement. The issue with Aston Villa is they play Man City and Liverpool over the next five game weeks. So I think it's a wait and see on Aston Villa. I watched a lot of Scottish football last season because I was playing the Scottish fantasy game. And in particular, Rangers defenders. You know, you tripled up on Rangers defenders under Gerrard and you just left them there all season. In particular, James Tavernier was probably the best fantasy player I have ever come across. Right back, took everything, corners, direct free kicks, penalties. He must have scored about 20 goals over the season. Now, I don't think Matty Cash is going to turn into James Tavernier because he's a different player. But certainly I expect Gerrard and his backroom team to improve things big time at Villa. In particular, defensively, I think that's where the most work needs to be done. They need to build a solid foundation there, and then they can improve going forward as well. So I think it's a good move. I think it's an interesting one because Gerrard's obviously done very well up here north of the border, and it'll be interesting to see how he does in the Premier League. It's going to be a real test before he gets that Liverpool job. So it's sink or swim time for Stevie G now. So yeah, interesting. You know, Ollie Watkins, Danny Ings, Buendia, all these players have had pretty quiet seasons so far. Dean Smith was chopping and changing a lot in the starting 11, couldn't really settle on a set formation. So it'll be interesting to see what Gerrard does. But in terms of FPL, just a wait and see. Let's see how they perform. Let's get the Man City and Liverpool games out of the way. And then maybe we can invest closer to Christmas time in their assets. Question from Antoine. Is there a case for Ben Johnson as a 4 million defender? So the West Ham guy has started the last four games at right back. He scored one goal and he's been very, very impressive. He's basically played his way into the starting 11 and Soufal is struggling to get back in there. Again, a bit like Tsimikas, when there's Livramento, I don't think we should go near Ben Johnson. Soufal is a very, very good player. He had a very good season last season and I expect at some point Soufal to force his way back in or at least start to share starts with Johnson. Maybe what we'll see over the busy period, you know, is Johnson getting some starts and Soufal getting some starts as well. Maybe they'll just split the game time. So I would stay away from Ben Johnson because I don't think he's secure, even though he's been really good. Final question is from Connell Hooley. Connell has wildcarded and can't resist spending big on four or five premium wingbacks. I know you've not been keen on this in the past, but I'm just wondering if that's still your gut feeling. Apart from Salah, there's not much value up front or in midfield. So I like this question because it reminds me that no matter how long you've been playing FPL, you've got to adjust to every new season. You can't just play FPL the same way every season. And this season is shaping up to be a season of defenders and to be a season of wingbacks in particular. You know, football has changed. Wingbacks have now become arguably the most important players in certain teams in terms of attacking returns. You know, players like Trent, Cancelo and the Chelsea guys. Even Livramento is a good example as well. He's heavily involved in the attack and play for Southampton. So I think we need to adjust as FPL managers as well. You know, if you're used to playing, you know, the staple 3-4-3 formation in FPL, I don't think that is the best way to play the game this season. I think four big defenders is the way to go at the moment. But even if you're wildcarding, I wouldn't be against five. You know, you can go big, even if you want to leave Livramento out and spend a bit more on maybe a Regulon or just, you know, double City, double Chelsea, Liverpool. You can go big at the back. It might look strange and it might look a bit inflexible, but the way defenders are performing, it looks totally viable. So yeah, I wouldn't stop anyone going completely big at the back this season. Moving on now to captaincy for Game Week 12. Had a look at my captaincy matrix. I actually updated it this morning. I was just noting down the best captaincy candidates for the next four or five game weeks. For this game week in particular, I'm still leaning towards auto-captain Salah, even though it's not an easy fixture. Liverpool play Arsenal. There is a big temptation to captain Heung-min Son against Leeds. I think if you've got Harry Kane or you're planning to buy him this week, I think there'll be temptation there to captain him as well. I think it's fine. I think, yes, we were saying auto-captain Salah about 2 weeks ago. You know, let's captain him right up until the African Cup of Nations. But I don't think we should rule out other options. And I mean, if you want to make up ground in certain game weeks, you want to try and back a player who's going to outscore Salah in a certain game week. And, you know, if we look at the Arsenal fixture, Arsenal have been good recently. Ramsdale's going to make about 25 saves probably at the weekend to get me about 10 FPL points again. And, you know, if we think the Tottenham fixture for Leeds is a very good one and we think, you know, Tottenham can score three or four goals in that game, then why not consider Son or Kane for the armband? So I think a lot of people will go for a Spurs captain this week. At the moment on Tuesday, I'm leaning towards sticking with Salah because he's just been so consistent. But again, I'm going to give Son some more thought as the week progresses. I think the top five options are Salah, Son, Kane, Ronaldo against Watford, and I like Phil Foden against Everton as well. But I think it's probably got to be Salah or one of the Spurs guys is the way to go this weekend. In terms of transfers for Game Week 12, I'm just going to read through my notes here. What I've noted down is I've got one free transfer. I'm likely to save it. The players who are highest on my wanted list are Reece James, Phil Foden and Harry Kane. But any of those in this week would require a minus four, which slightly puts me off. My team looks fine for the weekend as it is. I've also noted down that Jota might come into play as well in the near future. So another week of information and two free transfers for Game Week 13 sounds good. So I'll go back to that on Friday's episode to see if I'm still thinking the same way. Thank you for listening to this episode. If you enjoy the podcast and would like to support me as a full-time FPL content creator, this is my full-time job. Check out patreon.com/FPLgeneral where you can pledge a small amount and get lots of FPL content in return, including more podcasts each week. Have a great week, folks, and I'll talk to you again on Friday. Roll on the madness.
The Athletic.